live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Ugaranik is with you guys. You know, look, we live funny lives because we come in, you know, I do it, and half the time what Anna does, come into the show kind of like in a jovial good mood. We're joking around.
Only half the time.
Let's be honest. No. We don't call you Salt Queen for nothing. Okay, that didn't come out of nowhere.
I was in a horrible mood all day. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
Until, you know, came into the office and I accused Cenk of moisturizing his face.
I was like, how dare you? What are you going to say next? That I live in a cul-de-sac? Anyway, good mood, but unfortunately, the news sucks, particularly today. Lately, there's been some strands of hope, a little bit of blue we see, but we are not seeing any blue today. And so, unfortunately, we've got some really pretty bad news for you guys, near borderline apocalyptic. So, with that, take it away, Anna.
The conservative Supreme Court, which of course includes three Supreme Court justices who were nominated and confirmed during the Trump administration, decided against blocking Texas's anti-abortion law, which effectively bans abortions past 6 weeks and encourages private citizens across the country to essentially report on anyone who might be aiding and abetting a woman seeking to have an abortion past 6 weeks. Now, this doesn't mean that the Supreme Court has weighed in on the constitutionality of this law, which just went into effect on September 1st in the state of Texas. However, it does mean that as this case makes its way through the lower courts, there is abortions are illegal, essentially. 85% of abortions in the state of Texas happen past the 6 week mark. And so you have abortion providers in the state that have canceled appointments. They're being incredibly cautious because they're terrified of these lawsuits being brought against them from private citizens across the country. And so we are in a terrible situation because not only is this impacting women in the state of Texas, this will impact women across the country, particularly in red states. And these efforts are now being duplicated in places like Florida, which we'll get to later in the show. But let's give you the details of how the Supreme Court decided to weigh in on this and how they refused to block it. The Supreme Court's vote was 5-4, with Chief Justice John Roberts joining the court's three liberal members in dissent. So just consider the fact that the conservative Supreme Court justices that were confirmed during Trump's administration not only have an impact on the reproductive freedoms of women, but they will have an impact on all sorts of legislation that will be challenged by conservatives for the rest of our lifetimes. Just keeping it real, that's what the reality of the situation is. The majority opinion was unsigned and consisted of a single long paragraph. It said the abortion providers who had challenged the law in an emergency application to the court had not made their case in the face of complex and novel procedural questions. The majority stressed that it was not ruling on the constitutionality of the Texas law and did not mean to limit procedurally proper challenges to it. So again, this is essentially the conservative Supreme Court justices saying, we refuse to block it. We're not weighing in on the constitutionality of the law yet. We're gonna wait and see how this plays out in the lower courts. But the problem here is the law is written in such a way that it would not be enforced by lawmakers or politicians or officials in the state of Texas. It would essentially be enforced by private citizens throughout the country who work as snitches as soon as they suspect that someone is aiding and abetting a woman in getting an abortion in the state of Texas.
Okay, let's break it down. So first on the decision, I just want to give important context here. So they're doing two things that are important. One is they're saying the trick worked. Texas set up a trick so that the state is not enforcing the law, but these vigilantes are. And the five Supreme Court justices were like, oh, great trick. Now we know what you're doing. It's the state passing the law that in effect bans abortion. They're not dumb people. They're perfectly aware of what the trick that's being played. And they're like, well done. So because of that loophole that you created, when they sue different branches of the government, the branches of the government go, we have no standing. We're not necessarily going to enforce this law. So they're bringing the lawsuit against the wrong people. They'd have to bring it against Joe Blow when he actually catches one of those evil women. And I don't know if he throws a net over her or something and tries to cash in on his $10,000. That's when it would become a case. Now, legally, there is some truth to that, except for the fact that it's an obvious attempt to actually undermine a law and the United States Constitution as interpreted by the Supreme Court. So that's why the four other justices, including John Roberts, were like, guys, keep it real. This outlaws abortion. And so and you're using a technicality here, which was the intended point of the law, as I said. Okay, so but the second thing that it does is that means in effect now, it's in effect.
Yep.
So it is the law of Texas as we stand now, until a court reverses it. So because what a court could have done is, hey, let's adjudicate this and we'll tell you if it's constitutional or not. But in the meanwhile, it doesn't go into effect because there's serious questions about its constitutionality, which happens all the time and which is more normal. And in this case, they said, we're not sure, go for it. Let's see how it turns out. And so that's why people are rightfully freaking out, saying that's it. Basically, abortion is now illegal in the state of Texas. And now, of course, as you all know, that's not gonna affect everybody in Texas. Rich people don't care at all. They can just hop on a plane. They don't have to go to Paris or anything. They can go to a nearby state. So that's pro-choice, and they will. You know they're all hypocrites.
Of course.
You know the right wing gets abortions nonstop. And we've covered those stories before. Some of them will even join the picket line and go get an abortion. And then when you ask them, what the hell did you do? They say, no, it was inconvenient for me, but these people are evil. Okay, so the rich Republicans will continue to get abortions to no end in Texas. They always have and they will going forward. But poor people who can't afford flights out, well, they're stuck. And they now live under religious rule in Texas.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. And
that's
just a fact.
Yeah. So, and by the way, I mean, it's when the Supreme Court weighed in on abortion in the, of course, Roe v. Wade case, you know, the whole argument was about the viability of the fetus outside the womb, right? What is life? And if a fetus is dependent on a woman in order to live, right? Is it really a human life? And I would argue no, right? If it's not viable outside the womb, it's not a baby. Okay? And what we're talking about here, we're not even having a discussion about a fetus. It's not even considered a fetus until you hit the 8-week mark. It's considered an embryo. So we're having a debate about embryos right now, as tens of thousands of Texans have died in the state over the last year. That's what it looks like at 7 weeks. Mm-hmm. Is that viable outside the womb? Is that the same thing as a human life? I would argue no, it is not. But if you're a religious person and you believe that it is, that organism is the same thing as a living, breathing human being, then by all means, don't have an abortion. But your religious views should not dictate the laws of the land. Yeah. We're supposed to live in a country that separates church and state. And so if we're gonna consider embryos the same thing as a living, breathing human, then we need to ensure that we have enforcement to prevent men from masturbating. And wasting that precious human organism known as sperm, right? Like that's how ridiculous this whole argument is. And it's not about human lives, as I've said on the show multiple times. If this was really about human lives, then the evangelicals who have been pushing for these types of draconian laws would be up in arms about the ban on mask mandates in the state of Texas. They'd also be up in arms about what you know, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said early on in the pandemic, in this video from April of 2020, as coronavirus numbers were spiking. Here's what he had to say about human lives.
We're crushing the markets, we're crushing this country. And what I said when I was with you that night, there are more important things than living. And that's saving this country for my children and my grandchildren, and saving this country for all of us. And I don't wanna die, nobody wants to die. But man, we gotta take some risks and get back in the game and get this country back up and running.
There are more important things than living, like his precious stock portfolio and the precious markets. Like, they're such hypocrites, but honestly at this point, that argument is boring. Of course they're hypocrites. Of course they don't care about human lives. All they're doing is, you know, pandering to right wingers and, you know, single issue voters who somehow are able to think of embryos as human lives. But when it comes to actual viable living, breathing humans who are dying right now, thanks to the incompetence and the greed of right wing lawmakers, they don't care at all. They're able to separate those two things somehow. I do have some of the dissenting opinions. Each liberal justice wrote a dissenting opinion that I want to share with you all in just a minute. But Cenk, do you want to jump
in? Yeah. So first of all, an embryo is closer to sperm than it is an actual human being. I mean, look at us. This is what humans look like. Look in the mirror. You saw the embryo and you know what sperm looks like, probably. So what it, come on. So my point to you guys is we can draw the line anywhere, right? And we can have a debate about where to draw the line. Anna pointed out the reasonable place to draw it in our opinion is when life becomes independent. Well, that means it's an independent human being. Okay, and has its rights. But as long as it's dependent, whether it's your semen or it's an embryo, it obviously doesn't have full rights, to say the least. And that's why Roe versus Wade does not have an abortion at any time. You know that it says at viability, basically the third trimester, you're not allowed to have an abortion because at that point it's an independent life. So the rest of it is religious views. Oh, well, I know, but the Bible says this. First of all, as always, let me just say, the Bible doesn't even say that. And if you don't even believe the Bible, because if you did, the Bible agrees with me. Says, no, sperm is sacred, that is life. You are not to ever spill seed. Now, why do you do that abomination? Because you don't really care about the Bible. What you care about is subjugating women.
Controlling them.
There's no question about that, guys. If you actually were even a religious fundamentalist, even we disagree with you, but you would say no man is ever allowed to spill seed. It's in the Bible. It's very, very clear. And that is an affront. And God thinks that you're killing life. That's it. You're done with it. But you don't believe that. None of you believe that. If you're right wingers, not one of you believes that. Why? Hypocrisy. Go read the Bible. You don't give a damn about it. That's why you never read it. And so now let me give you some our non-religious perspective. I don't think abortion is a big deal. Oh my God, you're not allowed to say that in America. We live among religious zealots, and the Taliban will be so upset if you say that. I don't care what the Taliban thinks, whether they're in Kandahar or in Texas. Oh, you're supposed to view that as sacred. Why? It's not my Bible. I don't believe in your religion. No, you have to think like I do. Well, I don't. I don't think abortion is a big deal at all. At all. Well, I'm offended. Well, I don't care that you're offended. You're allowed to be offended. It's a free country. But what you're not allowed to do is pass laws where you enforce your views on us. Your views that are based on religion, a religion we do not all share. And they set up the country to be free of that. We are not supposed to establish a religion. And if you don't think that's true, you're wrong and you're un-American. Those are facts. Read the Constitution. But these Taliban, these theocrats, now, but who wants to live in Texas? Who wants to subject their wives, their moms, their daughters to the rule of some creepy old men who say, oh, I'm gonna tell you what to do with your body because God spoke to me and told me, I don't give a damn what you think God told you. Okay, this is supposed to be a free country. And I know that the right wing hates freedom. Their favorite thing in the world is subjugation and control.
100%.
But our job is to fight back, and we're going to aggressively.
Well, let's get to how the liberal justices wrote their dissenting opinions on this. So let's reset for that. The Supreme Court has decided to avoid blocking Texas's anti-abortion law, which went into effect on September 1st, and essentially allow the lawsuits against the law to work its way through the lower courts up to the Supreme Court. And I'm assuming that eventually the Supreme Court will rule on the actual constitutionality of the law. But in the meantime, the liberal justices in the Supreme Court each decided to write their own dissenting opinion regarding the decision to avoid blocking the law as it works its way through the courts. I want to read you a few excerpts from Justice Sonia Sotomayor, who writes that the court's order is stunning. Presented with an application to enjoin a flagrantly unconstitutional law engineered to prohibit women from exercising their constitutional rights and evade judicial scrutiny, a majority of justices have opted to bury their heads in the sand. Justice Sotomayor continues to write that the court has rewarded the state's effort to delay federal review of a plainly unconstitutional statute enacted in disregard of the court's precedents through procedural entanglements of the state's own creation. The court should not be so content to ignore its constitutional obligations to protect not only the rights of women, but also the sanctity of its precedents and of the rule of law. Now, Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the liberal justices in this case. And so I want to read a little bit from his decision as well. He also dissented, of course. But Cenk, I thought that Justice Sonia Sotomayor's dissenting opinion was the strongest, you know, because she's calling them out on the fact that they're just completely disregarding long-standing precedent. And by the way, that's something that Brett Kavanaugh, of course, claimed that he would avoid doing during his Senate hearings, confirmation hearings.
Yeah. Well, look, we all know they lie in the confirmation hearings. The only people who pretend that it's real are the media, who are supposed to bring you the news. They all say one thing when they're in those hearings, and then they do something else when they're on the court. We've tracked it literally hundreds of times. So, look at that. All the Republicans voted with the Republicans and the Democrats voted with the Democrats, even though they just said they'd call it balls and strikes. And the most you can ever get is like John Roberts like dissents like three times from the conservatives. Everybody's like, oh, what a liberal. He's only conservative 97% of the time. So we knew what, relatively speaking, we knew what they were going to do. And if you vote for Republicans, this is what you get. Mm-hmm. And so, but I, of course, I love Sotomayor's dissent. She's right on the facts, she's right on the law. And at the end, normally it is custom for the justices to sign, I respectfully dissent. She left out the respectfully. Mm-hmm. She said, I dissent. And by the way, Ginsburg then followed and also took out the respectfully and wrote, I dissent. Because she's absolutely right. I do not respect you taking away the rights of 50% of this country. I don't respect it. You know it's unconstitutional. You said you wouldn't do it, and you're doing it anyway. And there's nothing to respect as you try to basically enslave half the population.
You said Ginsburg. I'm assuming that you were definitely misspeaking. You mean Kagan?
No. Breyer.
Breyer. Okay, got it.
Sorry for the blank.
No, it's okay. Sometimes, you know, we're speaking spontaneously and sometimes we misspeak. But anyway, I do want to get to Chief Justice John Roberts and his dissenting opinion on this. He writes that the legislature, meaning the Texas legislature, has imposed a prohibition on abortions after roughly 6 weeks and then essentially delegated enforcement of that prohibition to the populace at large. The desired consequence appears to be to insulate the state from responsibility, from implementing and enforcing the regulatory regime. And he's right about that. The way that the law in Texas was written was very much intentional, because the Supreme Court ruling in Roe v. Wade essentially stated that the state cannot create an undue burden for a woman seeking an abortion, you know, before viability of that fetus, right? And so what the state is doing here in the way that they wrote the law is, instead of the lawmakers or state officials enforcing it, they're creating a system in which private citizens across the country can turn in or report on individuals that they believe are aiding and abetting an illegal abortion in the state of Texas. And so that's what's worrying about this, because as it makes its way through the lower courts and the final decision on this is made, it's gonna be a lot more difficult and a lot more complicated to prevent this or to block this, to strike it down based on constitutionality.
Yeah. My parents moved us here when I was a kid. We didn't come here because it was a theocracy. There was a lot of places to go if we wanted a theocracy. And so thank you to the dissenting justices for fighting for what America is supposed to stand for, which is freedom. And if you ever see a right winger talking about freedom, understand that they are completely full of crap. They think my freedom, but not your freedom. So women, you will now serve us. And by the way, there's no exception for rape here.
Or incest.
So you will have your rapist kid, mm-hmm. you will carry it for 9 months, and then you will take care of it for the rest of your life. Your life is not your own anymore. The government of Texas has taken over your body and your life because they did it for their mullahs. And I'm not interested in their goddamn mullahs. We didn't come here for that. If we wanted, we could have gone somewhere else for religious rule. And it's totally unacceptable, and it's the most un-American thing I've ever seen.
You know, there's one avenue in which, you know, I'm curious if it's going to be used as a way of striking down the law, because the whole argument is, well, I mean, you know, it's not the state that's enforcing this, you know, mm-hmm. it's private citizens. But remember, private citizens who are looking to snitch are incentivized with a $10,000 reward. Where does that money come from?
Oh, great point, Anna. Well, then obviously it's coming from the state, hence it's state enforcement. There's no question about that. And that's a great legal point. Apparently the 5 Supreme Court justices have missed it. And remember, they're gonna come back to the case, but meanwhile they're letting this clearly unconstitutional law go. But guys, the thing about the vigilantes has two problems. One is, now we've made a state filled with snitches. $10,000 is nothing to sneeze at. So they're all gonna be up in every woman's business. Oh, is she pregnant? Is she pregnant? Is it 6 weeks? How the hell would you know it's 6 weeks? But they're dumb, they don't know. They're now, oh, did she have sex the other day? Did she have sex 6 weeks? I'm gonna get my $10,000 by spying in on women. Bunch of brown shirts running around, religious fundamentalist wackos, mm-hmm. and trying to get rich and violating all of our privacy and our freedoms. They never meant a word they said. If there was an honest media in this country, you would know what hypocrites right wing are, but they're always being coddled and babied. Oh, maybe your religious fundamentalism is a good idea. Maybe we should enforce your wackadoodle ideas on everyone else, as if that's what America is about. But the second problem with the vigilante part is, and they allowed from out of state. So what's gonna happen is some right wing billionaire is going to just file case after case after case after case. And it doesn't even have to be true, guys, because what that does is it bogs down those clinics with impossible legal costs.
That's right.
And then they all get shut, they will all be shut down.
They'll go bankrupt because of the legal fees.
And in the meanwhile, even if you were to win eventually and get them back and somehow put them back in place, etc. And then they've prevented abortion for God knows how long in the state of Texas. And now it's spreading like wildfire. As soon as this worked, Florida's considering it, and all those other red states are like, great, we can put women under our boots. Yes, let's take over their bodies. I thought you were against government tyranny, you freaking liars. You were lying the whole time. All you care about is yourself. And so some cheeseball, horrible, greasy, right-wing billionaire man will come along and go, oh, an opportunity to control all women. I'll sue all of these people.
Right.
And again, they never care. It has nothing to do with the Bible. They've never read it. The Bible's pro-abortion. They don't care. Everything is a lie. All they want is power.
Yeah.
They don't care about justice at all.
The only thing they want free is the markets. Free markets, but oppression for women.
Yes.
And you know, anyone who isn't a privileged male, a white male in this country, that's what they want. And that's what they've been fighting for decades. This has been a decades-long project. And they're succeeding. In the meantime, the question is, what are the Democrats up to? What is the left up to? And that's what we'll discuss when we come back from our break.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I just realized something disastrous that's gonna happen in Texas, thanks to one of our members, but I'm gonna save it for the middle of this show. I wanna make your point so everybody can see it.
Women are gonna die? Is that what it is?
Well, it's
women are gonna die, by the way. They're gonna take matters into their own hands because this is gonna impact poor women who can't fly out of state to get an abortion, and they're gonna get desperate. Anyway, we'll talk about it. But that's the reality of this pro-life law that just passed in Texas. Not pro-life at all. All right, let's do it. Let's talk about the feckless Democrats sitting back. President Joe Biden has issued some strong words for the state of Texas, which has effectively blocked all abortions from taking place. Now, the language in the law that just took effect on September 1st bans abortions past 6 weeks, but 85 to 90% of women don't even know that they're pregnant at that point. Now, Biden called the law's novel enforcement structure, which allows private citizens to bring civil suits against anyone who assists a pregnant person seeking an abortion, a bizarre scheme with the potential to unleash unconstitutional chaos. He continues to write in a statement, "Complete strangers will now be empowered to inject themselves in the most private and personal health decisions faced by women." Now, the question is, what is the executive branch planning on doing? What are congressional Democrats planning on doing? Remember, Democrats have majorities in both the House and the Senate. Obviously, Joe Biden is a Democrat. He controls the executive branch. So they do have some options. But Biden was vague when he said this. He said he was launching a whole of government effort to respond to the law, tasking the Department of Health and Human Services and the Justice Department to see what steps the federal government can take to ensure that women in Texas have access to safe and legal abortions. He said the effort would be led from within the White House, but he didn't really offer any other details. And that's concerning because it sounds a lot like what he issued in the form of an executive order with the problem of gun violence in the United States. I am going to fund a commission to study gun violence. In this case, he's talking about, I'm tasking the Department of Health and Human Services and the Justice Department to see what steps the federal government can take. It's really not that difficult. One of the easiest steps is do away with the filibuster in the Senate and codify the ability for women to have abortions in this country safely. Because federal law obviously supersedes state law or local law, but is he willing to do that? That's the question. Are Democrats willing to do away with the filibuster in the Senate?
Okay, so he says it's a whole of government effort. Well, that's just not true. And so, your strongly worded letters are enormously uninteresting to people who actually care about the news, which of course then excludes all the rest of the media, which all applauded. Joe Biden with strong words, everybody. He really means it. No, this is how you really mean it. I'm gonna push Manchin and Sinema to end the filibuster immediately. If they don't, there will be tremendous consequences. I will do every effort I have to end their political careers, and I've got a lot of effort. And so, and we're gonna end the filibuster and we're going to pass Roe v. Wade. By the way, Roe v. Wade is, I've said this before, I have some constitutional issues with how that case was decided, but it's excellent legislation. It's exactly what I would want in legislation. It's still illegal in the third trimester because then it's an independent human being.
And unless it threatens the woman's life.
That's right. Yeah. And so as long as it's viable and it's independent, no problem. But until then, there's a gradation system and it allows for women to actually make the decision when it is not independent. Okay, so you could pass that tomorrow. They make it sound like it's impossible. Oh, we're gonna look really deep into the Library of Congress to find a way to do this. No, you just go, filibuster's over, Roe v. Wade is national law, period. Look guys, we do tons of nuance on the show, you've seen it, right? This one's actually really simple. Are they gonna do that? No, because, well, what would the parliamentarian think? So they have prioritized the goddamn filibuster, something that isn't in the Constitution at all. It was a loophole that was created to fight against civil rights and anti-lynching laws. They killed anti-lynching laws with the filibuster. I'm serious. So you're gonna, that relic, that stupid loophole in the Senate is going to prevent you from doing anything to protect women? What the hell did we elect Democrats for?
I mean, look, I mean, are we really surprised? The filibuster, as long as it remains in place, and it looks like it will remain in place, will destroy the political careers and the political future of the Democratic Party. Remember, there are voter suppression laws being passed in various red states to ensure that the future elections are rigged in favor of the Republican Party. And Democrats, now that they have control of both Congress and the executive branch, can do something about it. But they refuse to do so because the one thing they would need to do to pass something like the For the People Act, or even the Voting Rights Act, which is a scaled down version of the For the People Act, they need to do away with the filibuster, and they're unwilling to do that. They're like engaging in political suicide as we speak.
So no, their incompetence and honestly their impotence is immeasurable. So think about the logic of what they're saying. Oh, some guy invented just a rule in the Senate 150 years ago or so. And I respect him more than I respect all the women in Texas.
Or all my voters.
Or my voters. Or anti-corruption measures that are being blocked, $15 minimum wage, even though Democrats don't want it. That, and of course, as you know, that's what it always comes back to. So they're not even willing to give women equal rights, because they're worried if you get rid of the filibuster, oh my God, your wages might go up and their corporate donors will be pissed. So Joe Biden says, oh, I don't want to piss off my donors. So I'm going to ask for permission from the Republicans. He's literally saying this. See, if you don't end the filibuster, you literally have to ask permission of the Republicans to get anything done. And shockingly enough, the Republicans have not given permission for anything to pass. And so except an infrastructure bill that's totally watered down and designed to benefit
corporations,
both their donors, the Republican and Democratic donors. So guys, the only reason why you don't know this, if you didn't know it, is if you listen to and read mainstream media. They never tell you that. That's actually what's happening in politics. So Joe Biden will not do a goddamn thing about this law. He could do it super easy, so could Pelosi and Schumer. Then none of them will do a thing. Their words are hollow and completely meaningless, and they will screw you over. They'll screw over their own voters, and then when they lose, they'll blame Bernie Sanders. And we've seen this cycle now for about a decade.
That's exactly right.
In fact, today on Twitter, everybody's blaming Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
What the hell did he do? Oh, I don't know, man. If he was, you know, maybe if we ended democracy in the primaries, then Hillary would have won in a coronation and she would have been our queen. And then she could have run the worst campaign in the world, but she did. But she already won. She already won the primary. She went in the general election and, well, it should have just been handed to her. She was the worst candidate. You guys were wrong. And you screwed us all.
That's right.
We told you, we warned you. People don't like her, not because she's a woman, etc. Some of that exists, but mainly because she's establishment. She's an elite, and they hate that. They saw her take all the money from the banks. They saw her change her vote to go for the banks. The media is a bunch of liars, and they covered her ass the entire time. But people knew anyway, and you blew it. You blew the Supreme Court. You lost to an idiot.
I mean, refusing to campaign in key battleground states. I get the frustration over what the country is experiencing right now. I understand it wholeheartedly. But really, Hillary's not gonna take any responsibility for the awful campaign she ran? Okay, fine. But look, I'm not really interested in relitigating what happened in 2016. We have to look at what's ahead of us, what's in front of us right now. And Democrats have control of Congress. So what are they gonna do about it? That's the question. No more patty cakes with cinema, dressing like, I can't stand cinema. I can't stand it. But here's the thing, LBJ, he didn't play patty cakes. Sometimes he did. Sometimes he realized, all right, let me use some carrots. But when he used sticks, he brought the biggest stick and was willing to threaten, to bully, to do what was necessary to get the Civil Rights Act passed. Okay, we need that kind of hardball among the Democratic Party right now, because there's no more time to waste. And it goes beyond abortion laws, okay, which are already incredibly important to deal with. I mean, New York is flooded today. We don't have time to waste. Climate change is here, it's here. So what are we gonna do about it? Joe Manchin today, talking about how, like, oh, I don't know, we need to pause on that $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, which is the bill that includes all the climate action provisions.
Yeah.
Biden, what are you doing? I don't want your strongly worded letters. I don't care about strongly worded letters. The Republicans don't care about it. And these conservative Democrats in the Senate certainly don't care about it either. What are you gonna do to break their backs? That's what he needs to do.
So last couple of things here on that issue. Airlift the women out. Okay, so now Texas is basically a religious state. And so they don't believe in the Constitution. They have molded church and state. The United States Constitution says you shall not establish a religion. And here they have. If you don't, for example, I am not Christian. I don't believe any of the things that they believe about abortion. And I don't want to follow their religious rules. And Texas is saying, I don't care what you think. I'm going to impose our religious views on all the citizens. No matter you're a Jew, I don't care. You're a Muslim, Buddhist, you're atheist, I don't care. You will live under Christian rule. They say they're proud of it. They're proud of it. We think Yahweh should rule us all. And so we need to airlift those women out, the poor women, the rich women, the rich Republican women are going to get abortions till the cows come home. They're just going to fly to wherever they like. Oh, I do. Should I go to San Francisco or Paris to get my abortion? But let's have brown and black women suffer and poor people suffer and not be able to get it and maybe get a back alley abortion and endanger themselves. Well, then airlift them out. We need to get them to freedom because Texas is no longer free. We need to get those women to a free state. Now, you could avoid all that if Joe Biden was an actual leader. But you know he's not. And this is indisputable, guys. He is saying, I care about the Republicans more than I care about my own voters. By not ending the filibuster, he's saying it's so important to me to work with my Republican colleagues. And it's way more important than women's rights, voting rights, or any other rights. I don't care about you voters. I just care about Mitch McConnell. That's what Joe Biden's saying today. That's a fact. It's an uncomfortable fact. He could turn around, he could fight. But to this moment, he's not just not fighting on the filibuster. He thinks the filibuster should stay in place. He has the same position as the Republicans. That's who Joe Biden is.
All right, we're gonna take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss how now states like Florida see that the floodgates have opened and they are drafting their own anti-choice laws. We'll be right back.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys, Casper.
I want to separate two different things. On one hand, you have media figures or public figures who have one job and one job only. It's either to report the news or if they do op-ed work or columnist work or analysis, they're supposed to give their point of view or their analysis on various issues. Then there are the voters. I want to be clear that we're leaving voters out of this conversation, okay? We're going to focus specifically on media figures like Brian Stelter. So, following the Supreme Court's ruling to essentially avoid blocking Texas's anti-abortion law, which bans abortion past 6 weeks, effectively banning all abortions because most women don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. All of a sudden, Brian Stelter is changing his tune and he's deleting some old tweets that were, you know, minimizing the fear that people had in regard to Donald Trump's presidency and his ability to appoint and confirm three Supreme Court justices. So back in 2018, he had responded to a series of tweets from Amy Siskind, where she wasn't talking about abortion, but she was talking about how the Trump administration was essentially engaging in anti-immigration policy in an incredibly harmful and draconian way. She wrote that Border Patrol has set up checkpoints on Route 95 in New Hampshire and Maine and are asking people, what country are you a citizen of? We are a few steps from The Handmaid's Tale. And then she also writes, when Dems take control of the House and hopefully Senate, one of the first things we need Congress to push for is the dismantling of ICE being used now as Trump's Gestapo. Now, Brian Stelter responded to that and essentially made it seem like she was being hysterical. We are not a few steps from The Handmaid's Tale. I don't think this kind of fear-mongering helps anybody. Now, I wish he was a little more outspoken about the fear-mongering that takes place in regard to you know, the threats abroad and how we need to engage in forever wars. But it's okay, you know, he doesn't like this fear mongering, so that's fine. Now, people actually went back to that tweet today and he decided to delete it. That tweet was still there on Wednesday, according to the Internet Archive, but has since been deleted, simultaneous with the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision not to block a Texas anti-abortion rights law that effectively guts the protections of Roe v. Wade. So there was one other tweet though that he didn't delete, and it gives you a sense of how he consistently minimized the fears that people had in regard to the Supreme Court. He wrote, "I cover media. I've been working on a CNN documentary about Trump and TV. I interviewed one of the Handmaid's Tale producers for the doc, and I've talked to TV critics about this broader issue. I don't think it's an opinion to point out that America is not Gilead, nor is it close." Texas has effectively banned abortion, and they did that with the help of the right-wing Supreme Court. And I remember a lot of people in the 2016 general election minimizing the impact that Donald Trump would have on the Supreme Court. Now, I'm not talking about conservatives. Conservatives love this. I'm talking about Democratic voters, specifically those who have become nihilistic and don't think, you know, and look, voters are one thing, but people who have influence, media figures who do analysis. Those are the nihilistic ones that I think need to take accountability for the fact that they were wrong. When they minimized the impact that Trump would have on the Supreme Court, they were wrong. When they were mocking Democratic voters who might have supported Bernie in the primaries, but then said, all right, I have no choice, I gotta support Hillary Clinton because that is the lesser of two evils. They mock those people and shame those people. And so I just wanna know, are they ever gonna take accountability for the fact that they were wrong? Are they gonna turn around now and say, hey, you know what? This is literally my only job, I don't do anything else. I sit my ass down on a chair and I opine on politics all day as if I'm some sort of expert and I got this wrong, I got it wrong. Let me admit I was wrong, because that's what credible people do. Are they gonna do that? No, of course they're not. I'm gonna give you other examples in just a minute, but Cenk, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, so first of all, on Stelter, look, I'm glad he deleted the tweet because it was wrong. And there's nothing wrong with admitting you were wrong. I mean, he hasn't said it
formally. He hasn't admitted he's wrong, yeah. That's the problem.
And I get it, but the only reason in my mind to bring it up is because that kind of don't offend Republicans. Oh my God, they could be just as right as Democrats. Maybe women shouldn't have rights, right? And that's the mainstream media 101. And I've lived with it my whole life. Where they're like, what the Republicans do in taking away rights, not a problem. When you criticize them too much, that's against beloved bipartisanship and we can't have it, okay? And so that's when Stelter will yell at you. And he's not alone, he's just the representative in that case of mainstream media. Everybody yells at people. When you point out corruption, oh, you should see it. They go nuts. No, our beloved politicians, don't do it. Don't say that about them. So now we turn, but we're equal opportunity critics here. We turn to the whatever they're calling themselves these days, the neo, the extreme left, the alt left, the weirdo left, whatever they are, which is mainly right wingers, but their audiences. I don't know if they still think in their mind they're left wing, but anyways, the people who said Anna's reference there is to, you know, voting for the lesser of two evils. Is still voting for evil. Dun dun dun. No. As if that's some sort of brilliant intellectual point. You guys are hilarious.
Except it's, yeah, it's not a brilliant intellectual point. And look,
it's a point as simple
as individual voters, vote your conscience, okay? Individual voters, first of all, Hillary Clinton did not lose the 2016 election because of Bernie supporters. Let's be abundantly clear about that. This conversation isn't about that. This conversation is about influential people in left media, okay, who completely minimize the importance of the Supreme Court. And now for the rest of our lives, we're gonna have to deal with a right-wing Supreme Court that can strike down anything, really. I mean, we're gonna fight like hell to get Medicare for all, but if it gets challenged and it makes its way to the Supreme Court, what do you think this pro-corporate conservative Supreme Court is likely to do? And one of the people who I remember very clearly minimizing the importance of the Supreme Court, both before and after Trump got elected as president, was of course Jimmy Dore, who's terrified of debating Sam Cedar. And when you watch this exchange, you'll understand why.
I mean, except for Hillary Clinton in the Supreme Court, we disagree 100% on that. And I think that if Donald Trump is president, it's way worse for the Republicans. And if Hillary Clinton is, I agree with Chris Hayes when he says Hillary Clinton is good for the Republican Party and Donald Trump is bad for it. I agree with him.
I agree with that too. But in the meantime, we have a Supreme Court that is going to be moved to the right for generations.
So
in the meantime,
I disagree with you on that. I mean, you haven't given me an argument that rebuts what I said, that the Democrats could easily filibuster any bad appointee and they could say, hey, until you give us someone as good as Merrick Garland, we're going to keep filibustering this. And all he has to do is do it for 2 years. And my proof that they could do it is that the Republicans are doing it to a guy like Merrick Garland, who they already said they like without batting an eye for a year. So I just disagree with you on this, Sam, on the Supreme Court. I just
And what about when Justice Breyer? Or Justice Ginsburg pass away or retire?
Yeah, I mean,
so they're going to filibuster. They're going to prevent two vacancies from being filled, and then you think based on that in the context of American society as you know it, without a presidential election going on, that the Democrats are going to retake the Senate, even though they have twice as many people up for re-election.
I mean, Sam, did you think that Hillary Clinton was the stronger candidate than Bernie Sanders against the Republicans?
No.
You didn't? You always thought Bernie Sanders was a stronger candidate than Hillary Clinton against the Republicans?
Yeah. I mean, particularly against Donald Trump.
Oh, I thought I had you on that one. God damn it.
Now, is Jimmy Dore going to turn around and say, you know what? I totally underestimated the impact that Trump would have on the Supreme Court. Of course he's not. And that's his only job. That's all he does. He doesn't write any new jokes. He's told the same microwave joke about his family for like the last 10 years. All he does is comment on politics, and he does a terrible job, and he'll never take responsibility. He'll never admit he was wrong. Another one, let's go to Breonna Joy Gray, who responded to an NPR Politics tweet by saying, "You guys are 100% wrong on the importance of the Supreme Court of the United States in support for Hillary Rodham Clinton." Okay, a bunch of people were commenting in response to that tweet from 2017, just last night. She deleted it. Cool that she deleted it. Will she now admit that she was wrong about the impact that Trump had on the Supreme Court? Will she admit it? Of course not. Of course not. So while they're turning around and they're mocking people for voting their conscience in the general election, they also, by the way, claim that they're being vote shamed. No, we're not vote shaming you. But if you get your analysis wrong, can you just please have a little bit of respect for your audience and admit to them, hey, you know what? My analysis was not on point there. That hour-long debate with Chomsky, turns out Chomsky had a point. I don't know.
Yeah. So Jimmy, I think later in that conversation says something about, the chances of them, the Republicans being able to confirm two justices is the same as the moon falling into Lake Michigan, something along those lines. You can see it, it's all over the internet. Oops. I mean, but look, think about how puerile that is, right? So you don't think the Republicans can confirm Supreme Court justices? Which planet do you live on? They wound up confirming three. Oh, that's never gonna happen. Why would it? Because Jimmy's theory, I guess, was that the Democrats would fight hard to prevent the Republicans from confirming justice. Have you met Democrats? You claim that you're so tough on Democrats and you know how weak they are, and you thought they were tough enough to block Supreme Court justices from the Republicans? Oh my God, that means you know nothing about politics, nothing at all. And so Joy Gray there with the, it's no big deal, the Supreme Court people are gay. No, you're all wrong. You'll never admit it because it's about your ego. It's not about the facts, it's not about policy. And so look, for the people that keep saying that this simpleton line of voting for the lesser of two evils is still voting for evil. No, what that is basically intellectual cowardice. you're saying, I don't want anything on my hands. I know that there's the only two people who can win in a general election are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Everybody knows that. If you don't know that, again, then you don't know anything about politics and you're deeply embarrassing. Go become a plumber, okay? You dentist, whatever. Go find any profession you like, but you don't know anything about politics. Retire. Okay, so since you know Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are the only two people who could win, especially on election day, it's not like Jill Stein made a big run or Gary Johnson, here he comes. No, you knew there was a 0% chance anybody else could win. If you're in a swing state, and there I disagree with the voters, I don't mind calling out the voters. By the way, they're just like Republicans. Their feelings are so tender. They're like, you guys are evil for voting for Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden. You're evil. And then you go, well, I actually think you made the wrong decision. I can't believe you're vote shaming. You're shaming me. No. Well, the Republicans call us evil. You call us evil. The minute we push back a little bit, you're in a corner of the room in a ball fetal position. They said I voted wrong. Well, you did, and you got it all wrong. We lost the Supreme Court. By the way, again, we're not saying it's just those folks' fault. It's Hillary Clinton's fault that she lost to Donald Trump. We're not the mainstream media. We recognize what actually happened. But don't come around here and say, oh, we screwed it up, but we're gonna blame you because you voted for evil. Shut up, grow up, okay? And stop being a coward and make a decision. Don't go, oh, well, I didn't vote for it. I ran away. I'm the best, I'm the winner. I'm gonna judge you guys. No, I don't think so. You can piss off with that.
All right, we made ourselves clear. That does it for hour one. We're gonna take a break and come back for hour two with more news, including what Florida is plotting next.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.